Psychic Matters with Ann Theato, the top-ranked spirituality podcast.
Last year, there was an open week at the Arthur Finney College, and I'd never been to the open week before. And there was this lady called Shelley Yule, and she was offering a workshop in creativity within mediumship. And I thought, oh, anything with creativity floats my boat. So I thought, I'll go in here and see what this chick is all about. And when I went in, and it was one of the most welcoming experiences, I would say, that I've had. It was beautiful. We went in, there were so many people in the room, lots of people, but you made everybody, Shelley, feel really welcome as they came in. You asked people to come up and demonstrate, give a link from the spirit world, people that maybe had never done it before. And you really stood by them and helped them understand the process and how to unfold their mediumship. And people were blown away by what they were able to deliver from the spirit world. And I just thought that was really beautiful.
What I'd say to people to encourage them with, whether it's portraits or whether it's visionary art, because I love that as well, and using lots of colour, you know, create a space in your diary where you can sit and just explore. Sit with the spirit world and with your art materials and just play and practice and with the influence of the spirit world. You know, the more you practice, like you do with your development, with your mediumship, the more you'll refine it. So that way you don't have the pressures and the expectations of somebody sitting in front of you. The creativity is within everybody. Each one of us is creative because we're all creative beings, because each one of us are unique. So that spiritual power, or God power, as I like to say, it's a creative power because it resides within all of us, doesn't it? Mediumship is a creative power, isn't it?
Before we get into this episode, I'd like to invite you to join this community to hear more interviews that will help you to understand the psychic mind, mediumship communication, paranormal science, and how it all works. All I want you to do is click on the subscribe button. I love your support. It's incredible to see all of your comments, and I'm just getting started. I can't wait to go on this journey with you. Thank you for subscribing. It means the world to me. Hello, everyone. My name is Ann Theato, and welcome to episode 104 of the Psychic Matters podcast. I have got some fantastic news. My little podcast, Psychic Matters, has now entered the top 1% of the world's most popular shows globally out of 3,293,386 podcasts. To say that I am proud would be true, very, very true. And it is just amazing to think I am in the top 1% of the most popular podcasts out there in the world. And I just want to say a massive thank you to all of my amazing guests who have so kindly and generously given their time. And I want to say thank you to you, my amazing listener. Thank you for your listening ears, for your support, and for your dedication. If you would like to watch these interviews, they are now available on my new Psychic Matters YouTube channel. So do go over there. Very easy to find. Just look up Psychic Matters on YouTube and I'll be there. And if you would like to like and subscribe, that would be amazing because that helps my channel and then it will help you not to miss any amazing episodes that come out further down the line. Ooh, and I have also just celebrated my fourth podcast birthday. So happy birthday, Psychic Matters. May all your dreams come true. For those of you listening who would like to develop your own psychic ability or your mediumship skills, I have an 8-week program beginning on March 29th. It's an online development circle where you can practice weekly and build up your psychic ability and strengthen your mediumship skills. You'll find details on my website under courses. Just go to annentheato.com, annentheato.com. Meanwhile, settle down and enjoy this week's wonderful episode. Today, I have the pleasure of introducing you to my very talented guest, Shelley Yule, who is a gifted medium and spirit artist from the UK. Shelley holds a DSNU certificate from the Spiritualists National Union, demonstrating her world-class expertise in speaking, demonstrating, and teaching within the spiritual realm. And her unique journey has taken her from the hugely creative world of hairdressing to becoming a gifted artist whose creations are guided by spirit. Shelley's work has touched many lives, and today she is here to share with you her wealth of experience in mediumship and creativity. Shelley, welcome to Psychic Matters.
Thank you very much for inviting me, Anne. It's a pleasure. It's always a pleasure to share knowledge.
Lovely. It's great to have you here, Shelley. Thank you for making time. I know you are particularly super, super busy. So we're thrilled that you've been able to find a slot in your diary to speak to us today. And I was wondering, Shelley, if we could start with talking about, it's quite interesting, from hairdresser to spirit artist, quite an interesting journey there. So I wonder if you could speak a little bit about your development and how it began.
Well, it's interesting you say that because, you know, with hairdressing, you're still of service, aren't you, to people? And you listen to people and sometimes try to help them with problems. And so it's actually that being of service is what we do within our spiritual work has actually been there all the way along within my hairdressing as well. And I've always known that there is an unseen world. Even as a child, I never understood it. I never actually, as I got older in life, believed that I was a medium, but I always knew, and I'd had different experiences throughout my life. And it become something where, you know, you go for sittings and then you go to see demonstrations, and I'd be just keep dipping in and out of it. And late when I got an adult, obviously. And then I decided to be brave enough to go on like workshops and different things in my area. I traveled a little bit where I could. And again, I come away amazed by it, but never really thought I was a medium. That was my biggest stumbling block. But I realized within my hairdressing, sometimes when I'll be talking with clients, that I'd come out with things and I think, where did that come from? You know, and it surprised me sometimes because I thought, oh, they're quite wise words, or, you know, and just I was unaware that I was being influenced by the spirit world. So like I say, this journey has been very interesting because I also would know with people, you know, as we do being a sensitive, I would know if somebody wasn't right, or not health-wise, of course. I mean, if there was not in a emotionally not happy, shall we say. So I'd always sort of intuitively know with my clients. And that's where it really started. And I just pursued it on and off just for really just curiosity. But it becomes such a calling that I couldn't leave it alone. And that's what led me to the Arthur Findlay College. And that was a catalyst of change within my development, because then I realised after a week there, which was an amazing week, that I went, I actually am a medium. So all these years, and I've been playing with cards and, you know, tarot and all of that, but I never truly believed that I had the ability until that time. And that's when I really did start to embrace my journey development.
It's very interesting that, isn't it, how you can intuitively pick up on people's emotional body, etc. Go back before that, Shelley, if you would. In hindsight now, looking back at your childhood, were there indications that perhaps you had a mediumistic talent there?
Yes, there is now, but at the time, obviously, you know, I was brought up in a non-spiritualist family. I'm not saying they didn't believe, but, you know, they weren't spiritualists or mediums. It was very much there. You know, I spent a lot of time with imaginary friends, which obviously I know a lot of those now were not imaginary. And, you know, I always would look at adults as well and kind of, why can't they see what I see? Or I'd pick up situations, didn't understand because you're naive at that age. So yeah, it goes right back when I look. And they helped me immensely as a child and also the spirit world, I mean. And, you know, as through teens, which is a very difficult time. But yeah, they've always been there for me. And like I said, you look back.
Yeah.
It all makes sense.
And what about your parents and your, or I don't know if you had parents, not everyone has, but what about the people that you grew up around? Were they supportive of you?
Yeah. My parents are actually both in the spirit world now, bless them. They didn't understand. So because, like I said, they weren't spiritualists. They didn't, you know, if I mentioned anything about ghosts, as we call it, or spirits, you know, they would talk with me, but they didn't understand it themselves to be able to support me in that sense. But as parents, they supported me. But as I got older, with my dad, it was a bit of a taboo subject because he feared it, shall we say,
right.
For a time there. He didn't understand. He supported me, but didn't understand it. So if I talked about it, I'd get this glazed look, like, I don't know what she's talking about, you know. But from the spirit world, especially since they've been passed, they support me extremely a lot. They work with me, which is wonderful. But yeah, they didn't understand. That's what it was. They supported me where they could.
Oh, that's beautiful. Good for them. That's really nice that you had that environment to grow up in. For those listening, when you speak of them supporting you now from the spirit world, people listening might be wondering how can they support you? How does that work? Can you speak a little bit about that?
Yeah, certainly. Well, I often feel them around. I mean, we can't read for ourselves, obviously, but I feel their presence and their guidance. You know, there's times that they bring me information, especially sort of at night when you're, or in the mornings before you go to sleep, when you're waking, because your conscious mind's so subdued, they can influence you more. So through times of where I've had a challenging situation, I've very much had their guidance in a simple way, sometimes even through music. I can hear certain music and the lyrics will help me understand what the situation is, if that makes sense. But also because with me being a tutor and working with students, they've come through that way as well, through messages for me with guidance. And of course, the students know nothing of my life. So yes, so they often come in to let me know.
Oh, beautiful. Very nice. Lovely, lovely. So then let's go back to your life as we follow the story of Shelley Yule along. You working hard as a hairdresser. I also know that you're a single parent. Is that correct?
Have That's
I got
great.
That right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Congratulations, single parenting. All single parents out there, have big cheer for them. So you've got a child and you're hairdressing. How have you made time to go to workshops? How have you found that ability to, and I'm asking this question because I also was a single parent of two and I couldn't even get away from them for a second to go to any workshops. And I had no money, so I wasn't able. How did you manage to make that transition?
It was very difficult because obviously my daughter is, should I say, is my world and always will be. But she's flown the nest now and she's very happy with her partner. So now I don't have the responsibility as I did. But she came first and foremost. And of course, as yourself, being a single mum and having to provide work, money, children, they come first. And she always did. It wasn't until she became teenager that I started to have a little bit more, I suppose, freedom. And I did have the support of my parents and my step-parents that if I could do a workshop, that they would child mind, if you like. They would love to have the day with her, to be honest. But again, financially, it weren't something that I did all the time because I also couldn't afford it. But I would have a little pot to save saving. And I always used to have a college fund when I started going to the college. So for birthdays and Christmas, people asking family, what would you like? And I'll say, a donation to my college fund, please. And I'd have a tin and I would save so throughout the year so I could go to the college. But again, like I say, my daughter then started to get to an age that, I could leave her because she was a young adult then, where I
Yes.
could really support her. But it's not easy. But then life experiences shape us to who we are, don't they? And, we have to live this life, physical life, to learn our experiences, to be able to utilize that within our spiritual work, if that makes sense.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And I love the fact that you had a college fund. I think that's fantastic because it is expensive going to the Arthur Findlay College, especially if you're flying in from abroad. But what I used to do when people said, oh, have you ever been to the Arthur Findlay College? I'd be like, play my boo-hoo story. No, boo-hoo, got no money, can't get away from the children. And then I started demonstrating mediumship as one of my platform accreditation scheme. And then every time somebody gave me a spiritualist church gave me my expenses for travel, I put that in a pot. And soon there was enough to go to my first course. And that's how I funded it as well. I also had a pot of money. And spirit provide, once I paid my £100 deposit, they somehow made the rest arrive, just enough to pay for the course.
That's it. That's just the same with me. Yeah.
Yeah, it's amazing. So you go to the Arthur Findlay College and you have a lovely time and you study and so on and so on. How then have you become a tutor? Because it's not an easy route, is it?
No, I've learned so much though. The journey, yeah, at times it's not been easy, I have to say, but the self-discovery and the knowledge I've learned along the way is priceless. But no, I certainly didn't step into that college expecting to come out one day being a tutor. Like I said to you earlier, it was more about curiosity and this calling that I needed to find out about myself as regards to have I got this ability or not? So I, of course, like I said, I started it when I really took it on board at the college. The second year I went to the college, I decided to become a member of the Spiritualist National Union. I didn't understand much about it then, to be honest. And it's actually been a progression, an unexpected one, really, because then I had to learn studies into the introduction to spiritualism to become a member. I think things have slightly changed now with that, but that was good. And it led from there. Then, like you with the platform accreditation, I thought, oh, I'll do that because I'm a bit of a perfectionist. So if I'm going to do something, I want to do it well. But I have to say to all those perfectionists out there, don't let it become the detriment of you because that has hindered me sometimes. And I've learned that. But it's good to want to do well. So that's where I started on the education, with the platform accreditation and doing the services. I never even dreamt to be a platform medium, to be honest, because I'm actually quite shy. So believe it or not, I've had to work hard on that. So for me to be on a church platform or demonstration was the last thing that I would ever dream I would do. And but of course, gradually, spirit's encouragement, I started to do that. I worked with my platform skills, presentation skills, and so on. And it's a slow progression. Then I went from obviously doing the platform accreditation, and I was encouraged from tutors at the college to go for the next qualification, which is the Certificate of Recognition, so the CSNU. So I thought, right, that's as far as I'm going. So I went to that, and of course you have to do the home studies, which were good. They're good. I recommend anybody do them because it really gives you a good foundation and knowledge, as I'm sure you know yourself, doing the education. So then, yes, I did the CSNU in speaking and demonstrating. And then everybody was encouraging to go towards the tutor scheme. Well, you see, because again, I'm like quite shy and I've always thought I'm not good enough. So I've battled with that. And so in a way, it's been a big push I've been pushed in a way from tutors and the spirit world, encouraged, should I say, not pushed, because I've held myself back. And then it's progressed. I did the tutor scheme, and I was invited, not the tutor scheme, the CSNUT, sorry, going backwards. I did that in teaching. Then I was invited on the Tutor Access Week to do the tutor scheme. And it's gone from there. And then that led then to the diplomas as well, because we need to be a diploma holder in our discipline, which mine's demonstrating and that of teaching. So, and here I am.
Congratulations, Shelley, because it just shows huge dedication to the spirit world and huge dedication to your own understanding of your own soul, I think. And it's interesting what you say about being shy about being a teacher, because I had the great good fortune of attending one of your classes. I don't know if you remember me, but last year there was an open week at the Arthur Finney College, and I'd never been to the open week before. And I just went along for one day, but it does unfold over several days, doesn't it, Shelley? Yeah. And there's, for those of you that are listening, I'll ask Shelley to speak about it in a moment, the open week. But from my experience was I had a gap in my little timetable that they give you. And there was this lady called Shelley Yule, and she was offering a workshop in creativity within mediumship. And I thought, oh, anything with creativity floats my boat. So I thought, I'll go in here and see what this chick is all about. And when I went in, and it was one of the most welcoming experiences, I would say, that I've had. It was beautiful. We went in, there were so many people in the room, lots of people, but you made everybody, Shelley, feel really welcome as they came in. You asked people to come up and demonstrate, give a link from the spirit world, people that maybe had never done it before. And you really stood by them and helped them understand the process and how to unfold their mediumship. And people were blown away by what they were able to deliver from the spirit world. And I just thought that was really beautiful. And one of the experiences I had was you said, come on, we'll do one more exercise. And nobody put their hand up. And you asked again, and nobody put their hand up. And eventually I put my hand up. I thought, okay, well, I'll give it a whirl. And yeah, the thing you asked me to do was reach for a musical reference from the spirit world. Ask them to speak to you through music. And you mentioned that earlier in the interview, which is why I'm remembering it now. And I remember coming up with this contact with this grandmother who played the spoons. And I managed to place it with somebody in the audience. And then I could hear the same grandmother playing the piano, waltzing Matilda. I remember the link very well, because it, you know, you remember the ones that really touch you in some way. But she was playing it very sad. And I said, she has links with Australia, but it's a sad link. And the lady or gentleman I was working with said, yes, this person is this lady's son, and he went to Australia. And unfortunately, he's recently passed away, or something along those lines. But all of that, as because you stood next to me while I was doing that link, and I gave the first thing, oh yeah, I've got spoons. And you said, okay, come on then, reach for something else. What else? What else? And you kept standing with me saying, what else is there? What else can you hear? And it was your encouragement that made me expand out to get all of that information. And I want to thank you for that, and just say what a wonderful teacher I thought you were.
Oh, well, thank you very much. Do you know, that means so much to me, because that's why I have pursued, really, to become a tutor, because, you know, it's not always easy. And it does take courage to stand up and do a link, because we have this fear of being wrong. And, you know, and I know that when I nurture people, that brings out the best in them. You know, if somebody feels comfortable, supported, and I suppose safe to be vulnerable, shall we say, not safe because you're in any danger, of course, but that, then you see them shine and you see their ability. That makes my heart sing, to help others, to have that opportunity to be a part of somebody's journey and to see them light up when they get it right, or epiphany moments. It's truly magical. It really is. So, you know, so I'm very passionate about it, helping others, hence why I'm a tutor. But yeah, and to see that, because often, like I said, with me being always thinking, am I good enough? I've always had that, and a lot of self-doubt and, you know, lack of confidence, as many do. You know, I'd be concerned if somebody didn't have those confident wobbles now and again. But, you know, it's whether you allow the confidence, the self-doubt to get the better of you. And I like to create environments where people remove that self-doubt. We can build confidence up. It's so important.
Yeah.
So, that's... I do remember you, yes.
Oh, bless you. Thank you. Yeah, it was a great class. I really enjoyed that experience. It stayed with me through my mediumship as I work now, thinking, Shelley said, reach for more, I shall. So it's funny, isn't it? The impact you can have on someone without really knowing it. Yeah, we can have a real impact. Even those that are listening that aren't mediums or psychics, your words can really impact people. So we must use them carefully, folks. Shelley, let's go to creativity within mediumship. Where does that come from within you? Were you always great at art? Because I know that you use drawing and illustration in your work as well. So speak a little bit about that, if you would.
Yeah, I wouldn't say that I'm a conventional artist at all. At school, you know, if I focused, I could do art. So I knew that I had that artistic ability to some degree, but I never properly pursued it. I didn't touch actual art, really, for many years, because obviously work, bringing my daughter up. But I'd encourage it with her. That helped me bring it back into my life a bit more. And I've always had that creativity, you know, within my creative mind. But then I always say that creativity is in everybody, to be fair. And yeah, it's interesting, because as I said to you, I pursued the mediumship first, my development in that aspect. But then somehow I knew that I had to come into it. And I actually had an assessment, a spiritual assessment, with one of the tutors at the college, both years, but the second year. And she mentioned about you wanting to do art, or you're working with art, because I was, but I didn't know how the two would come together. And she said, you'll bring the two together. And I never understood. And at the time, I'd be like drawing, and I thought, I don't know what I'm doing here. And then that become where I started exploring with different art materials. I'd never worked with acrylic paint before, for example. So this one time, I'd had a bit of a testy conversation on the phone with a family member that left me a little bit frustrated, as we do. And my daughter was at her dad's, so I was home alone, if you will. And I thought, I need to express these emotions. So I thought, my daughter's got some paints. So I got this canvas board out and these acrylic paints, and I just used the colours and painted. Nothing particular, just started to paint. And I realised I felt so much better because I'd expressed my feelings onto the paper, onto the canvas. And I've still got prints of that particular piece of artwork, because I called it the emotional flame. So then I never knew then that there's art therapy, colour therapy, you know, because it's not something I'd looked into. But then I started to look into that, and then I started playing around again. We got more paints. And this one day I kept getting it. Put the brush down. So I kept getting this from the spirit world. Put the brush down. So like a teenager, I put the brush down and go, right then, what are we going to do then? Because I'm thinking, how can I paint without, you know, a spatula or a brush? And then I sat calmly and just sat in the power and presence of the spirit. And I worked with my fingers. And I didn't go into a trance. They didn't control me. But I was inspired. And I recommend anybody does it. If you don't want to get mucky fingers, I'd wear gloves. But it's very liberating and freeing. Because my mind, I'm very such a perfectionist. I want every detail to be to right. But spirit wanted to move me beyond that, to be free, to be inspired by them. And I started, as I would do this artwork, it would be quite raw, But I started to see imagery coming through as I was working. I didn't realize what I was doing, if that makes sense. And it went and it started from there. And then I started to very often do angels, which I do sometimes now, but it's progressed to all different things now. And I never ever thought that I would do spirit portraits, because again, don't think I'm good enough. But again, with the gentle nudge and encouragement of the spirit world, I do spirit art demonstrations now as well. So
Wow.
that's, yeah, so it changes all the time, all the time.
Oh,
But I
that's
love art.
amazing. That's so beautiful that you've moved on to that. So some people listening may not know what spirit art demonstration is, and maybe you could speak about that too for
Of
those
course, yeah.
people.
So what it is when we do a demonstration, and obviously, like we do, we give communication, evidential information to validate who the spirit person is. But while I'm doing that, I'm actually drawing on paper. I often use charcoals at the moment, or pastels, because it's quicker than paint. And I start drawing a portrait of the spirit person. And the interesting thing, sometimes you could be speaking, say, for example, the spirit communicator could be mum, but I could be drawing dad. So that's quite interesting, but I'm aware of that as I'm working. So they get, the two communications. But what the beauty of it is, it never ceases to amaze me, any of it, to be honest, that not only do they get validation, their loved one lives on and still loves them, they actually get a portrait to take home too. And I always strive, again, my perfectionism, I keep wanting to be like a Picasso. I want to do it like a photographic image, but obviously we've got 10 minutes to get it onto paper and give the communication and the evidence. So I'm always striving to be as more detailed as I go. But it progresses like all our development does. But it always amazes me because I go, do you recognize them? And I always think they're going to go, no, but they do. And I think, I just trust. And I don't see spirit, if anybody's going wondering about that. Some spirit artists see the spirit person and they draw them. I don't. I just am aware of them and they guide me as well. I just start to move the material across the paper and then I start to see them start to form and I bring them out onto the paper. But I know why I don't see them is because of my perfection head. Because I will be too busy trying to get it so right. Whereas if I can't see them, I just work with them. And they'll tell me, like I've got red lipstick on, I'll go, well, I like my red lipstick. So, I'll put that on, or my eyes are blue, or, different characteristics about them. So, yeah. But it's interesting because I am very clairvoyant, but not when I do spirit art, not about their faces anyway.
Yeah, and clairvoyance is where you can clearly see in your mind's eye. That's interesting, isn't it? How your clairvoyance is withheld from you while you're doing your spirit art. I went to a one-day workshop at the Arthur Finney College once upon a time to do spirit portraiture to learn how to do it, and it was a brilliant day. I had a lovely time. I can't remember the teacher. I'm sorry. If I remember, I'll put it in the show notes, everybody. But it was. The lady, the teacher afterwards encouraged us. Well, next time you do a one-to-one sitting with somebody, attempt your spirit art at the same time. And I thought, how lovely. But when it actually came to it, Shelley, I just thought, oh my goodness, what if I draw some wonky old picture with one eye big and one eye small and tiny hands? And they go, what on earth is this? I'd be so embarrassed. What do you think I should do? Should I give it a go and just say I'm trying to give some kind of impression here of what I've got?
Yeah, you see, I often, what I'd say to people to encourage them with, whether it's portraits or whether it's visionary art, because I love that as well and using lots of colour, create a space in your diary where you can sit and just explore. Sit with the spirit world and with your art materials and just play and practice and with the influence of the spirit world. The more you practice, like you do with your development, with your mediumship, the more you'll refine it. So that way, you don't have the pressures and the expectations of somebody sitting in front of you. If you want to then with good friends or friends of friends that will be non-judgmental, that are willing to allow you to practice on them, then maybe then do it, but don't have them in front of you. Because as soon as you have somebody in front of you, it puts you under pressure. And then you're more in your mind then questioning, oh, this is going to not work. And you're going to be battling that. And rather than just say, give yourself the time and space to do it, and then maybe type up a reading or, you know, have a meeting with them then afterwards with the artwork in front of you that you've already done. And then link in with the spirit and then give the information. That's what I often encourage, because I do get students doing the art and the mediumship together, and some prefer it that way, or some prefer to do the artwork first. So, because they find they can't do the two things at once, but everybody's different, aren't they? So, yeah. But I always think build your confidence up with it first. Build your relationship up with your spirit team that are helping with the art, and explore. You'll know when it's time to step out and say, okay, I feel ready. But choose people that are not going to judge you on it, that are quite happy for you to practice on, yes. And then it will progress. Because I think sometimes we are so eager that we run before we can walk.
Yes.
And sometimes then that creates stumbling blocks or potholes in the path, shall we say, and then that knocks our confidence, or we have to go back and sort of slow down and start again. So I always encourage, you know, just give yourself that time. I mean, I don't have the time like I used to, but if I had a day where I was going to do art, I'd have to make sure all my practical jobs were done or everything like that had to be done, and then, because you wouldn't, that would be me for hours doing art. And I mean, obviously my daughter would be at work, so it'd be like, you know, it's like create that space. So it's just me, the spirit world, and my art and linking in and unfolding. Yeah. But I say just bring out the inner child. Give yourself that time. The artwork's not for anybody else to judge at that stage. Yeah. It's for you and for the spirit world. And like I said, you'll build it up gradually.
You spoke of visionary art. Say a little more about that. Is that different to portraiture? What is visionary art?
Well, visionary is, you know, where you're doing a scene, shall we say, for example. I mean, I've got some in front of me, actually, but I don't think you'll see them very well on screen. But, you know, where I link in with the spirit world. I mean, for example, one lady, a medium and friend, lives up in Scotland, and she asked me to do a series of artwork. So what I do, I'd sit with in the power of spirit, and I linked in, and I would be inspired. And I can't remember all of them because it's a while ago, this example. But, you know, I did a scene where there was a sunset and trees, and I didn't know, I haven't been to her home, so I wouldn't know. But actually, that was the view she had from our home. But I would also then, there's so many ways you can work with it. But there was another one I did for her, and she says that's what I see when I meditate, when I sit in the power. But I've done it where you've done like spirit communication, evidential. So where I've done imagery on canvas, where it's very evidential to do with the spirit person's life. So it may be where they lived, it may be their favorite flowers, you know, favorite colors. But you know, like when you look out to the garden, scenes like that, or maybe the sea, maybe the countryside. But there's all sorts with visionary: clouds, sky, the universe. Has that answered your question?
Yeah, it has. And I think probably when I think about it myself, you just got to start. That's probably the key, isn't it?
Yeah, and I think the thing is, a lot of people that shy away from creativity or art is because somewhere in their life they've been either told or they felt that they're not good, they're not creative. And you see, I always encourage people, as you probably heard on that workshop on the open day, that the creativity is within everybody. Each one of us is creative because we're all creative beings, because each one of us are unique. So that spiritual power, or God power, as I like to say, it's a creative power because it resides within all of us, doesn't it? As well as nature as well. So that creativity is there to some degree. It's just igniting it. Mediumship is a creative power, isn't it? So the minds are creative, mind's creative too. And I say, you've got to start somewhere. Things don't happen overnight. Some people with some abilities are stronger than others. Some have to work at them harder, as we know that with mediumship or any ability, to be honest. But I say you've got to start. I'll never forget seeing this photograph of this gentleman holding two pictures up. It was on Facebook years ago now. And he held one and it looked like a child had drawn a human eye. And you could see it was okay. You could see it was an eye, but it was very simplistic. The other one I thought was a photograph. It wasn't. It took him 13 years from the first picture to the second one through practice and dedication. And it looked like a photograph of an eye. So you've got to start somewhere. Yes. Yeah, so I encourage people. That's why I say find a space where it's just for you in the spirit world and for you to explore. Don't put yourself under a situation in situations where your work's going to get judged, because that'll knock your confidence before you start.
Yeah.
And I would say, you know, be different. Think outside the box. Don't think about it. That's how I started with, like I said, with the acrylics with my fingers. I use the brush more now, but I often start them with my fingers. And then the imagery starts to come out the scene as I'm working. But if I have in my mind an image and I try to put it on paper, it don't work. It goes terribly wrong.
So that's beautiful, isn't it? So when you're trying to control it with your conscious mind, that's not going to work. But if you go with your feeling, is that what you're saying? Move into the feeling.
And allow the spirit to influence you. And you look at all these wonderful artists, like musicians as well, and poets and writers. And I do believe they're inspired by the spirit. Very much so. You know, but it just got to start. So, and I know there's creativity in everybody in one shape or another.
Oh, thank you so much for sharing all that. That's really, really inspiring. Interestingly, I was reading a book by Paul Jacobs last night, Man of God, and I managed to get him to sign it for me, actually. Bless his heart. Thank you, Paul. I don't think he does that very often, but he did sign it for me when I was there. And he was talking about colour in mediumship. And he works a lot with colour and looking into the colours in people's auric field. And he was saying that colours can mean so many different things depending on whether it's mental, spiritual, emotional. Can you expand on that? Because I only just was reading it last night, so I can't speak with any authority on it.
Oh, that's fun. It's interesting because I had a meeting online with Paul, a few of us, about colour. And about the way of working with it. We really like with your any form of mediumship when you set an intention. So say you're going to set the intention, you want to work with colour. So like what Paul would say, he often would get a colour at the start of a sitting, and that would give him a very good indication of where the sitting needs to go. All right. So, you know, it's good to understand the definitions of the colours, but depending which area it goes in to what it means. So that's where you'd work with your intuitive skills, the intuition to work with where it needs to be. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Yeah. So obviously, you know, for example, red we know is very much about red of the passion. It can be of love, but it can also have the negative tones of the anger, can't it? If you want to call negative, but it's like everything, it's got both sides. So, you know, working with red there, so you know that. But if you know when you're working with, and it also is a power color, well, they're all power colors, and it's a very authoritative color, you know, it's a life color. And as Paul would say, if you don't see a tinge of red in somebody's auric field, we should do, because it's the life force. So whether it's merged into a pink, because obviously pink is red and white, isn't it? Or whether it's in a bit of the orange with yellow and red. So it will be there. But, you know, it's fascinating to listen to Paul with his concept of working with colour. And I very much agree with him. And, of course, he was taught by the wonderful Gordon Higginson, because he worked with colour. And, you know, it's a science there. You know, it's got to be some intelligence to it. It's not just random pieces of information. But you see, with knowing the for example, with the red, the different connotations, what it means, but you work with the intuitive skill to where it feels it fits. So it could be that somebody is a very much a business person and in high authority. If it's in the physical aspect that you're blending on within the aura, but then on the emotional, again, it could mean that they're very not only passionate, but they could also be very strong-willed emotionally as well. If that gives a reasonable example to what we work with it.
Yeah, that's brilliant. Oh, thank you, Shelley. That's really, really interesting. And I find all of that fascinating, the colours. I think I'm going to be asking spirit to influence me a little more with colour, I think, in my work. We did say at the beginning we would just have a look at Open Week at Arthur Findlay College. And I wonder if you could speak a little about that for people that maybe might be able to go, or I know there's an Open Week in person and an Open Week online, but maybe you could speak about that for us, Shelley.
Yeah. Well, firstly, the Open Week online came about in the pandemic because obviously we couldn't be in person. And now, because that was such a success, we do that now in the autumn, usually around October time. And that's wonderful for people overseas that can't get to visit the college or for the Open Week in the spring, because it's usually sort of the very beginning of May, like the May bank holiday around there we do it. And it's a wonderful opportunity to have a taster of the college. And that's why it's called an Open Week, where there's, I mean, it's busy, isn't it, Anne? You've been. So yes. It's very busy. The college is such an absolutely beautiful place, but it's buzzing over that week with people, and there'll be lectures, there'll be talks, there'll be demonstrations, there'll be workshops, tutorials, specialised workshops available for people. And of course, if you want to have a evidential reading or a spiritual assessment, you can obviously have that as well. But it's a day ticket for the most of it. The private sittings, of course, you have to pay extra for. But it's a wonderful experience to really see what the college is about, get to see some of the tutors. And there's many of us that attend to support the college for that week. And it's great for all of us. It's very busy, but it's wonderful. But like I said, it gives you a taster into what the college can offer, apart from, unless you want to come, because some people come and they actually stay in the college for the Open Week. But, you know, because a lot of our courses are residential, which is a wonderful experience, because your whole day, morning to bed, is the whole experience of the college, the learnings, getting to know people. Yeah, so, but I highly recommend people go on the Open Week. If they're considering going to the college, they'll get a good insight into what it's all about.
Yeah, that's a great explanation. Thanks so much, Shelley. And of course, for those that live abroad and listen to this in different countries who can't make it, as Shelley's pointed out, there's an online Open Week too. Very similar. You just can't go around the rooms, the physical rooms in the college. You can certainly do all these different workshops and tutorials, can't you, Shelley, online?
Yes, that's a good, it does help people who are overseas, definitely. But you can't beat being at the college, because it is such a beautiful place. It really is. And the amount of spiritual people that have been there and the pioneers, you know, it's so, the energy of the place is magnificent. But you know that, yeah.
Yeah, I do know that. And we want everybody to know that and feel that, don't we? So do go along, everybody, if you can possibly make it. Shelley, it's been fabulous speaking to you. Tell us, just before you leave us, Are you offering one-to-one sittings for people? Are you teaching in your own right outside of the college? Have you got online classes? Say a little bit about what you're offering at the moment in the work that you're doing.
Yeah, I do in person or mainly online, really, Zoom. I do sit-ins, I do evidential, I do spiritual assessments, I do orographs, which if you want me to discuss that, I can. But yes, I do. I teach at the college, the Barbara Nell Centre, and I'm in the process of trying to sort some more private courses out, you know, that are outside of the college as well. Yeah, so yeah, I offer a full range, and of course go and do serve churches and do demonstrations.
And if people want to book with you or find out a little bit more about you, Shelley, do you have a website or a Facebook page that you can direct people to?
I'm in the process of the website, but yeah, Facebook, by all means, Shelley Yule, spiritualist, medium and artist, or I've got a private page that's not so private, but they can contact me that way or through email, which is all lowercase, Shelley Yule 35@hotmail.co.uk. So yeah, that's the easiest. That's the thing with today's world. It's all Facebook, isn't it? And yeah. Instagram. Oh, I'm on Instagram as well.
Fabulous. I shall have to follow you on your Instagram. I will put your details for people who might want to contact you directly to have a private sitting or are interested in your courses. I'll put your details in the show notes for the program. And then, gosh, you just mentioned something else there, so we can't let you leave yet. You now have to tell us about orograph sittings, could you?
Yes, certainly. Well, orographs originate from a gentleman called Harold Sharp, and he had his oriental god Chan Shi or Chan Choi that inspired him, and he used to create them extremely quickly. And but anyway, moving forward, the modern orographs, well, he used to do them either in an oval or a circle. Many people do still now, which represents the aura, that electromagnetic field around the individual. All right. So whereas, like you say, Paul does the colours and works with sit-ins with with using his intuitive skills, you do the same, but you put it onto paper. That's on the psychic side, about the individual that you're doing the artwork for. But I can also, with modern orographs, and of course I like to think outside the box, I can work with spirit communication. So you can do an orograph that will represent the person in the spirit world through symbology, colour. And I don't always do it in a circle. To a degree I do, but I don't like the restriction, you see. I like to feel free, but that's that creative part of me that likes to feel unrestricted. But yes, yeah, so I can do spiritual assessments as well through with the aura, because that's working intuitively as well, and obviously with the guidance of the spirit world. And then I'll put a creative impression onto paper.
Beautiful. And a spiritual assessment, if you could sum that up in a little sentence.
Oh yes, well, a spiritual assessment is a little bit different, obviously, than an evidential sitting. It's about looking at the individual, where they are within their development, their spirituality, about what pointers maybe that they need to work on, potentials going forward with what abilities they have, what they could pursue. It's all about really your spiritual pathway, putting it in a nutshell, really.
Yeah, beautiful. And it's really lovely to have a spiritual assessment as well. I've found that to be a beautiful experience for people I've gone for. So if you would like one of those people, Shelley Yule is your lady. Shelley, thank you very much for joining us. What's next for you coming up?
Well, in regards to work-wise?
Anything, you know, holiday, work.
You don't get many of those.
Yes.
Well, I'm actually soon going to be going to the Barbara Nell Centre, because I'm taking on the platform accreditation and CSNU intensive training. So I'll be doing that. And I'm back at the college, so a few times this year. I've got to sort some more private courses out. There's always something. There's plenty to be doing, so as well as sit-ins. And I will confess, I still do a little bit of hairdressing. I squeeze that in, not much, but I squeeze a bit in, because these people have been friends for years, so I love to still see them. So yes, I'm off to Italy. I think that's in April. So there's quite a lot going on.
Yeah, beautiful.
But it's great. I love it. Love it.
Some lovely plans. Shelley, thank you so much. Again, we are so grateful to you for making time and sharing your knowledge. It's been a wonderful, wonderful discussion. Thank you so very much.
Thank you for inviting me. It's truly been a pleasure, Anne.
You have been watching the Psychic Matters podcast with Anne Theodo, the only podcast to push forward the boundaries of human consciousness to redefine the significance of living. Subscribe now so you don't miss future episodes.
Well, do look up the work of Shelley Ewell, everybody. I am so grateful for our wonderful conversation. She's so easy to talk to, and I absolutely love her fusion of mediumship and creativity. And as Shelley suggests, get your paints out and give it a try. Let's all do it. Let's make a commitment to be inspired by the spirit world and just put our hands in the paint and our hands on the canvas, and let's see what happens. And do write in and let me know how you get on with that. You can contact me by email, anne@anteato.com. That's Anne without an E, by the way. As with every episode of this podcast, it is deaf friendly, and there is a complete transcription in the show notes for this episode, which you can find on my website. I have also got some fabulous courses coming up later this year, so do sign up to my mailing list to receive information about those. Some fascinating courses coming in, actually: remote viewing, medical remote viewing, and, well, all kinds of remote viewing, really, as well as some very unusual tarot workshops, which I have in mind to teach. I also teach a weekly mediumship and psychic development circle every Friday throughout the year. So if you'd like to join me, please do check out all the courses that I have on offer on my website, anteato.com, anteato.com. I will be back with you in a couple of weeks' time, when I hope my head cold will have moved along as well. Thank you for listening to my slightly nasal tones today, and I look forward to being with you in a couple of weeks. Until then, my name is Anne Theato, and thank you for listening to Psychic Matters.